Welcome back to the DM, everybody. On our season 5 premiere, we will be deep diving into the reimagined world of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, where we will interview the costume designer of Bel-Air season 2, Queen Sylvia Accoucher. Her work includes House of Pain, The Haves and Have-Nots, For Better or For Worse, and of course, Bel-Air season 2. Welcome to the DM. Could you please let our listeners know a little bit about yourself and how you got your start?
Absolutely. Hello, listeners. A little bit about me. I am a Nigerian American, born and raised in DC, and first generation American. I am a costume designer here in Los Angeles, California. And how did I get started? That's the question, because everyone's path is so different and roads are just so different and paved differently. But I actually got my start right out of college. I wanted to go to law school. I had an internship offer with the CIA, completely different. You know, on the other side, while I was in college, I always did fashion shows, or I went to school in Atlanta, Georgia. So it was kind of like the mecca of film and TV when it just started to kind of get its grounds in Atlanta. Now it's huge and booming, but that's kind of like when everything just started. And I had a friend who worked with the big producer and director there and just was like, hey, do you want to intern? Are you interested in this kind of thing? And kind of one thing led to another. So the beauty of my start is I've had the opportunity to work every position in costumes. It has allowed me to have the bandwidth to understand what I'm asking of my crew, what I'm asking of my team, and how much in sync I am with the storytelling and, you know, having a great team. But yeah, so I got my start from just having interest in costume design. And, you know, I remember, funny, it's a story, I had a roommate in college and I was like, I think I want to do costume designers to graduate. You know, that kind of came about. And I was looking to see costume designers that looked like me. I was like Googling, I was watching movies, and you know how, I didn't even know IMDb existed, right? Movies that we all have known and are seeing, our TV shows that we had all known and seen. And I was fast forward to the end and I would pause when the credits went up. And I was like, that's that costume designer's name, and Google that person's name. Like, I want to be like them one day. And just fast forward to know that one of those people was Ruth Carter. I was about 20 years old. And to know that, like, years later, she ends up being one of my mentors, you know? So it's like, it's crazy how much you can manifest and dream and think about what you want to do and things come to fruition. So
we're going to get right into talking about some of your work. And we were just curious, what were your initial thoughts when you were hired on to costume design this reimagined version of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, since it's such an iconic show?
You know, when I first got the even call from my agent, I was like, there's no way you can do this. Like, you can't reimagine a show. You there's no parallel. And every time everyone tries to do something like it, it doesn't always work. But once I got the script and I read it and realized, you know, this is the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reimagined. It's a drama, not a comedy. And it's of now, you know, times have changed. You know, Hillary is a chef. People are doing different things in life now. And I was always excited, but I got really, really excited. And I started to take a deep dive into the original show and just kind of seeing the parallels of season 1 and the parallels of the original series to kind of see how I can make the story my own. I was super excited, super thrilled. And I knew this was special. I knew it was special. That's one thing I did know upon taken on the journey of the costume designer, because I felt like I had a huge responsibility when doing something like this, you know? Yeah. So that definitely played a part to my decision making.
So getting into the costumes, the character Will Smith turned his blazer inside out. I would like to know, and I'm sure listeners would like to know, is this the blazer's inside lining, or is it a different blazer?
A lining that we kind of put in there. It is the blazer inside out. However, his blazer is the only blazer that does have that lining, a special lining that we got. And, you know, for some of his moments to kind of make him different, it's something iconic and, you know, kind of giving a throwback, just what makes it special, what is still the color tone or the school tones. And we kind of like when he has those moments when he's on the roof or, you know, different points cool world that he can wear inside out. And you'll see a little bit more of that. It's just his own thing he does.
Nice.
Very cool. So going along with the, you know, the blazer being inside out and the school uniforms, there's a lot of different uniforms just in general at Bel Air Academy. Did you have to look through or research or go through any of the uniform requirements? And how did you mix different colors and styles within the student body?
So in Bel Air Academy, there are two schools within the academy. There's Ashley School, which is the lower level, and then we have the high school level. That's Will and Lisa Carlton that they attend. It is some research that goes along when doing uniform. Lots of research, actually. There's school rules that you want to make sure you kind of sort of follow. Although, you know, when you are making TV, there's a level of realism that you have, but also a level of fantasy, because this isn't so real. We want to make it parallel so people feel connected. Like, oh, when I was in school, I wore my costume. My uniform like that, you know? But I also wanted to make it fun, stylized, different, because I didn't wear a uniform in school. However, I know if I did, I would have made my uniform my own within following the boundaries of what the school recommended. That's what we did. And funny enough, people say, did you change the uniforms of last season? And it's the same colors. I just incorporated just more accessories. I incorporated people having their own personality. And so it looks completely different. But it's just a little bit heightened. It's enhanced to show that there are different styles you can wear. You could just wear a button-down shirt and a skirt, but you can also wear it with suspenders. You can wear it with cool socks. You can wear it with, you know, there's so many things you can do with your uniform. Wear a cute headband, you know. So it looks different. And a lot of people have actually picked up on that. And knowing that the schools at the higher level and the lower level have two different colors, but same patterns, also kind of gave a little bit of fun to be able to show different things with the uniforms as well. So uniforms are actually fun because uniforms can be formal sometimes, but I try to make it fun. And I think we accomplished that.
Yes, you definitely did. And it was very noticeable because I was like, oh, he's wearing this blazer this day, or he's wearing a cardigan. So that's really amazing. How did you go about creating individual styles for each character? And did you have a favorite character that you did dress? I'm sure you can't just say one, but...
It is so hard. Part of when I signed on to do this season, I did mood boards and I studied and I studied and I studied. Well, it took me about 2 to 3 months to kind of like make storyboards for everyone.
Wow.
Because I wanted everyone's look to be special, to be individualized, to be different. So I spent hours on every medium that you can think about, every fashion show, Paris, Italy, New York. It was just going in and making sure I had, and then just not designers that we know. Part of my research was finding new designers, was finding inner city designers, were finding designers who were abroad, whether they're in Europe or Africa. I used a lot of African designers who you've probably never heard of. But I felt, again, that my responsibility was huge because having this previous show, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, making sure that I gave opportunities to people of color that would not have had opportunities to show their creative art. So it was just a huge undertaking that I wanted to make sure that I did my part on and off the screen. That was something I didn't take lightly. And you'll see that throughout the show, that it's like, what is that? What is that person wearing? And for instance, characters like Aunt Viv, some of her jewelry was handmade in like Uganda. It was very, very special. And these are things that sometimes people do when they're doing like a film, but I put the same energy into it. In anything I work on, it's I take jobs that I'm passionate about. I don't take jobs that, oh, it's just a project. Let me, you know, I take jobs meaningful to me. And I'm so grateful in my career that I'm able to kind of slash work through and make sure that, you know, I'm able to have the projects that speak reasons to who I am and to my personality and all that kind of stuff. It was really special. My favorite character to dress is a very, very hard question. Very, very, very difficult because everyone's different. Everyone tells a different story. Everyone has a different path. It's just, there's no two characters that are linear. And what's special about that is like you have this huge Black family and their offspring of friends. And, you know, to know that in this Black community, everybody can be different. So that was also special. But I will say a character that was the one of the most meaningful for me to dress. I can answer that question. And I would say it's Aunt Viv. And I say that because of my roots, my culture, where I'm from, and what it means to me. And it was kind of like the first character I was able to use a lot of Nigerian designers, West African designers, and put her in prints that I grew up seeing my mother wear, and jewelry that I know that my mother would have, you know, wore. She passed away. And so I know that this moment for her to see her daughter making full circle of things that I grew up around in my community and putting it on a screen, where when I grew up, it was kind of like, oh, this is the African episode of the season of the show. You know, how we grew up, like, there's a shooting episode, or, you know, someone's doing African dance, and then that's where you saw the prince, because you made a thing of it. And that's just how she dresses, and that's who she is, and that's where her artistry comes from. I think it's something so special about that. And I know that when I made my mom really, really proud. So it's so meaningful to me that I'm able to go back to my roots, my culture, my home, and put that on the screen. I mean, how many projects will I get to do that for in my career? So,
yeah, kind of going along with how you were already speaking about Aunt Viv, she almost has like two different types of styles, because she's got this casual, like, quote unquote, painter style, and then her quote unquote boss woman, like, public persona. Yeah. Can you give examples of how you balanced out the two?
Yeah. So, you know, because she is an artist and she paints and she sculpts and she, so it's kind of like her unintentional uniform that she wears, because she doesn't want to get paint or sculpting on any of her like beautiful costumes or closet. So I kind of like put her in what would be like her Dickies coverall, but what does that look like for a character who lives in Bel Air, who is affluent, who is Aunt Viv? What does that look like? So
yeah,
her jewelry kind of stays the same. I did nice little head covers when she's, you know, sometimes in there, but what does her workwear look like? And so that's kind of like a difference. And then, you know, when she's in her element of being a wife, being a mom, being a boss, it's not completely different, but it is different. She's able to envelope herself into who she is outside of her art studio, because that's what she has. That's what she wears. And she's in an art studio. It's her kind of her uniform.
So the creator of the show, Morgan Cooper, is from Kansas City, Missouri. I'm from Missouri, so I noticed I noticed the Kansas City Monarchs hat, and I texted Audrey. I was like, I have that hat. But letters were different. So I was going to ask you about the letters being different on the hat, and if there are other Kansas City or Missouri influences involved in the wardrobing.
That's so funny. You know, when I was like, I wonder if anyone's from Missouri. But, you know, because I try to be as parallel and connected to the character, you know, for instance, Will is from West Philadelphia, Jazz is from South LA, you know, so you'll have designers and clothing that represent who they are in the visuals. So I didn't really use Missouri artists, because that's not where they're from. That's not what they did for the most part, where it was kind of things. But, you know, I think in the production design, I know like Morgan is amazing. He's such an amazing creative. He's phenomenal. They were able to create a few things, but the production design, it kind of gives homage, because everybody wants a piece of them, right? You know, in life, you want to feel seen and you want to feel heard. And so I know he kind of made a little bit of impact there.
Very nice. So there were cameos from famous actors, including, you know, Tatiana Ali and Daphne Maxwell Reed. When you were planning out wardrobe for the cameos, how much time do you have to prepare for who's coming into the show?
Yeah, you know, I know when we first started, you know, they were saying there were going to be cameos, and we don't know who they are until they're like, all right, and all that. So what I like to do is just design who the character is first, right? So you kind of like have this idea for this invisible body. You know, and then are like, oh, this person is going to play this role. You're like, oh, okay, great. So, you know, We have about, depending on when we get the script, and you know, TV works, TV is very fast. It's not like a film script where there's one script and that's your script for the whole shooting of 90 or 30 days or what's so happy when you just have little script changes. Every other week, we get a new script for the episode that we're shooting for the next week. So, you know, this 7 to 10 days, I say, you know, we'll have to prep for that character. So the moment that we even hear whispers, which could be previously to the script, like, oh, we'll have this person play a role. You know, I start to kind of like have my team like, hey, we just start. I'll say, hey, we should start shopping for this person because they might be playing this role. So sometimes reshop, even if the person doesn't get casted, the person doesn't end up having the role, we'll pre-shop. I'm a costume designer, so I can look at you and know what size you wear. So you'll have the size of like, oh, this person wears a 9, 10, or, you know, that. One thing I can't do is shoe size, but I can look at someone and say, okay, that would, you know, so we'll kind of pre-shop based on that and then kind of go from there. So about 7 to 10 days, I want to say.
So this is a challenging question, but what is the most challenging part of your job and what is the most rewarding part of your job?
The most challenging is the time. There isn't enough time. Honestly, there is not enough time when you're making TV and film. The beauty of making TV and film is when you do start a show and say you have a 5-episode pickup, a 10-episode pickup, when you do have all your scripts, when you start, you can prep all those episodes. So the biggest challenge is time. The most rewarding are moments like this where people have seen your work, when people love your work, when people, you know, want to celebrate you and understand your thought process and how things came to fruition. I think that's the beauty of it all, is it all coming together, seeing it on screen, and you're like, wow, you know. But I have this thing with my assistant. We have this, like, we call it our creative safe space. We just throw ideas back at each other and say, okay, we'll do this, but no one will ever pick up on it. Like, it's just something that we do is this, you know, just, you know, putting someone in green and the reason why we put, like, so it was just like little things that her and I just talk about and think about. And I've had many moments of people picking up on that, those moments that I've had with her, those little nuggets that we've shared because we just wanted to do it or because it meant something to us for whatever reason. And people pick up on it. And it's so, that feeling is like you literally get chills, and because you're like, that person's in your head, how do they know, you know? But it's because people love the work, they study the work, they've seen it, and those same feelings are those same reasons why I've made those choices connected with someone. It's so much beauty and it's so special. It really is.
Well, that's a lovely answer. And we just want to know what's next for you and where can our listeners follow your career and the work that you're doing? And is there anything that you are at liberty to talk about that's coming up?
Yeah, so we are starting prepping. Well, we are starting looking into, honing into season 3 of Bel Air. So that's really, really, really exciting. So I'm starting the process again.
Congrats.
Thank you. Well, we've been picked up. So we're all ecstatic. You know, it's like, now we got to take it up another notch. And what does that look like?
Totally.
So I'm excited for that. So that's what kind of preparing for now. I'm on Instagram. I am Queen Sylvia. I think I have a very unique name that my mother decided to give me. So just my Instagram is I am Queen Sylvia. And I have all of my contact information on my Instagram. My website is queensylvia.com. Very easy to find.
Are you fairly active on your Instagram? Like, do you use it as a mood board or like as a way to let people into your process? Because I was just thinking that would be really cool if people can kind of see a little bit of a window into your mind and your vision.
You know, I have another page just for Bel Air's work. It's called Bel Air Costumes, and it's just from Bel Air and Bel Air season 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun. It's our crew. It's us in the office. It's us with the cast. It's us when we're creating or we're having fun. So that's Bel Air Costumes. That's our page for that. And then I have a personal page, which just shares my work, previous work, not so much of a mood board, because that's more of a stylist kind of thing. For me, it's just kind of like who I am, what I've done, what I enjoy. My daughter's on there. You know, I enjoy that. We do have a Bel Air Costumes page as well. That's just at Bel Air Costumes stuff.
No, I think that's so great, because just I really do admire what you did for the show. It's very, very unique costuming, unlike anything that I've seen on television. And so I hope that our viewers and listeners will give it a shot. And, you know, if you haven't seen it, start at season 1. If you're watching, you know, get ready for season 3, because I just think that you've done a really beautiful job of incorporating your own flair into, again, what is such an iconic and big cultural show for a lot of people.
Thank you. That's so heartfelt. These moments, they're special for me.
Well, thank you so much for taking part. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of the DM with Audrey Brand and Tyree, where we interviewed costume designer Queen Sylvia. You'll find links to the Bel Air homepage and streaming services in the description box below. A special thank you to Nearby Sound for our theme song.
If you enjoyed the show, please introduce your friends to our work, rate, review, and follow. Check us out on thedm.net or on Instagram at Audrey Brianne and at Tyree Style. The DM is produced by DB Sound, Audrey Brianne, and Tyree.